taken from Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, and we're continuing our series in this portion of Jesus' teaching in Matthew's Gospel, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to read this morning in chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 16, 17, and 18. So it's Matthew 6, 1 to 6, and then verses 16 to 18. You can follow the Bibles that we have, or you can follow on the screen above. Jesus is speaking and teaching, and this is what he says. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Then at verse 16, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of God, and to his name be praise and glory. I'm here, and if you feel you need to take your jacket off, then please do so, but please stop at the jacket, okay? Let's turn to Matthew 6, 1 to 6, and verses 16 to 18. As we continue our series of studies, looking through this famous portion of Matthew's Gospel that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. We begin with a quote, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" Those lines famously uttered by the wicked stepmother in Snow White. Normally the mirror would answer, "Oh, you are." That is until the day the mirror tells her the truth, that she is no longer, that she is not the fairest of them all. And of course, as the story goes, the stepmother doesn't react too well to that news. Indeed, she becomes apoplectic with rage. And I suppose all of us at times can get angry when we're told something about ourselves that we really don't want to hear. I know that often is the case when I look in the mirror. Sometimes the truth hurts, and not just wicked stepmothers either. This morning we turn to look at what many consider to be one of the most challenging chapters in the Bible. Martin Lloyd-Jones, famous Welsh preacher of last century, said this of it: Matthew chapter 6 is one of the most uncomfortable chapters to read in the entire scriptures. It probes and examines and holds a mirror up before us, and it will not allow us to escape. There is no chapter which is more calculated to promote self-humbling and humiliation than this one. So here is a chapter of the Bible in which, in a sense, Jesus holds up a mirror to our own lives. Here is Jesus asking us to see and acknowledge who and what we really are. Because in these verses, we're being forced to see ourselves as we really are, and not just as we like to imagine. And what we discover when we look into this mirror is that we are far from being the fairest of them all. Jesus holds up a mirror to our lives, and as he does so in these opening verses of the chapter, he identifies a very real danger that is common to all human beings, but in particular to those of us who are religious and who seek to live good and godly lives. So let's look first of all at the danger that Jesus identifies, and it's made very clear to us in verse 1 of the chapter. Jesus says this: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now wait a minute, you say, just a few verses earlier on in chapter 5, Jesus has spoken about his disciples being, you remember, the salt and the light of the world. And he says there in chapter 5 and verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So wait a minute. Jesus makes it clear there that he expects his followers to live out their faith in such a way that it can be seen by others and recognized by others. So just what is the danger that Jesus identifies here? Well, the danger that Jesus puts his finger on is doing our acts of righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. That is the issue here. What Jesus is getting at here is our motivation. The danger that our righteous acts or deeds are done out of pride, that we do them fundamentally to impress other people so that they will think well of us. What Jesus is speaking about here is the danger of hypocrisy, of showmanship. And Jesus, you see, knows the human heart. He knows that as human beings, we, all of us, no matter who we are, have the tendency to try and win the favor of others by certain actions that we take, maybe acts of piety. And so Jesus here is concerned not just with what we do, but why we do it. He is concerned, as we've seen in the previous chapter, with a righteousness that is true and authentic and that goes to the heart. Okay, come and capture them. There you are. Sit. No problem. This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow with the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. Well, that's Shakespeare. And what he knew well was that theatricals and play acting are not confined to the stage. Human beings, we are often guilty of projecting what amounts to a false image of ourselves. And that's what the Bible calls hypocrisy. In the ancient world, the hypocrite was an actor who wore a mask and played a part. And for those of us in the church, we hear that accusation very often, do we not? The church, it's full of hypocrites. Well, sometimes they're right. Because there are no people so susceptible, I suspect, to hypocrisy than those of us who are religious. Because sometimes we wear our religion to win admiration and respect and approval from others. And that is the danger that Jesus is speaking about here. This was what Jesus saw in the Pharisees of his own day. He warned his disciples, Luke chapter 12, verse 1, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The Pharisees took delight in public applause. They performed much of their religion, not for the praise of God's glorious grace, but for the praise and adulation that they received from other people. It's as if they had kind of airbrushed God out of the equation. They wanted to look good. Their emphasis was in externals and how things appeared, and they gave little thought to the inner motivations of the heart. I say this often, but I'll say it again, that true religion is always an affair of the heart. It's never purely a matter of external or outward actions. And sometimes that's not always well understood. Many people are happy to be living for God when the eyes of others are upon them, but simply live for themselves in private. And living for the praise of other people is a subtle trap. Does it matter if our lives are a sham as long as the mask is on straight? Because it's the crowd, you see, that gives us the reason to pull on the mask. And all too easily we can find ourselves driven by what others think and say rather than what God thinks and what God says. We know that we live in a world where looking good is thought to be the same as being good, where looking right is thought to be more important than being right, where the emphasis is all on style at the expense of substance, on image rather than reality. But the world's perspective is not Jesus' perspective. While the world is happy for us to drive a wedge between the private and the public, Jesus is not. In his kingdom, he says, the private and the public are one. And if they're not one, then what happens is this. We become people with double standards, speaking double talk, and ultimately leaving double lives. There's an incident in John's Gospel, in John chapter 12, where Jesus has performed mighty acts and deeds and so forth, and we're told in John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, nevertheless, many of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. What do we love? The glory that comes from human beings, or the glory that comes from God? This is the danger that Jesus puts his finger on here. And to illustrate his point, he highlights three areas where such hypocrisy can readily take root in our lives. And let's look at those, the areas that Jesus highlights here. Three activities of the disciple he mentions: giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. Let me say in passing that these are things that Jesus seems to assume will be practiced by his followers. He says, when you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast. He doesn't say, well, if you give or give to the needy, or if you pray, or if you, when you. He expects us to do these things. He expects his disciples to be engaged in these kinds of activities. He mentions, first of all, in verses 2 through 4, giving to the poor. When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may be praised by others. They have received their reward. So what does Jesus do? He describes someone here who loves to give to charity. Plans to make a donation, a big donation, perhaps. Hires a musician, a trumpeter no less, to highlight his good deed. And Jesus says, well, wait a minute, this is not a gift in the sight of God. This is a purchase. Such a man is not actually really helping the poor so much as he is using the poor to help his own public image. I told the story before on a number of occasions. So one of Spurgeon's stories about the rich duke with the gardener. The gardener loved his master. Out of love and devotion, he decided to give him some kind of prize vegetable, carrot or whatever, that he'd been cultivating all year. And the gardener presented the duke with this great carrot out of love and devotion for him. And the Duke was touched by the sincerity of the man's devotion. He really appreciated the gift. He saw that it came from a heart of love. And in return, he gifted the gardener a beautiful, valuable horse from his stables. But there was another man, a nobleman, who saw this transaction taking place. And he calculated that, well, if you've got a horse for a carrot, you might get something. If you give him something really big, then what on earth might you get in return? He bought a rare, valuable tree and gifted it to the Duke. The Duke discerned the man's heart, thanked him for the gift, simply walked away, leaving the man bemused and confused and empty-handed. And aware of this, the Duke turned back to the face of the nobleman and said to him, "Friend, you gave yourself the sapling. You did it for yourself, not for me." Jesus is saying here that if we only give for selfish motives, then on heaven's balance sheet, as it were, such an action amounts to nothing. Don't blow your own trumpet. Don't be a show-off when it comes to giving to others in need. Give and help, yes, of course. But what's your motives? And think about why you're doing what you're doing. And Jesus speaks about praying in verses 5 and 6. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners that they may be seen by others. But Jesus speaks about another man, obviously a man of devotion and prayer. But unfortunately, this fellow prays more in public than he does in private. His public prayers are always eloquent and fervent. But his piety is also. He does it to be seen by others. He does it so that others will think well of him. So Jesus says, pray. Of course, he wants us to pray, but when you do it secretly. Because secrecy promotes sincerity. Meet with God in private. He sees what you do in secret, and that's what really matters. Do not make a point of displaying your spirituality so that others can see you. I mentioned last week, Jesus is not prohibiting public prayer here. We get the point he is making if we ask, you know, for some of us, do I pray more fervently in private than I do in public? Do I love the secret place of prayer and communion with God? Am I praying when no one else is looking? See, it's a test of our spirituality. Prayer is not to be a platform for pride. Be a place of dependence upon God. And his third illustration is that of fasting. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Jesus speaks about a third fellow, known for his tremendous self-discipline, great commitment. But wait a minute, no one's ever seen this guy smile. His face is permanently disfigured with angst. His gloomy appearance is meant to give you, see, the impression of seriousness. But once again, it's all for show. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees fasted on a Monday and a Thursday. Those were the market days, where their spiritual zeal, you see, could all the more be readily be seen and noticed by others. Now, of course, self-discipline is important in the Christian life, but if you're fasting, you know, take a shower, use some aftershave or perfume. Hey, smile. Beware, Jesus says, of engaging in any spiritual activity or discipline simply for the sake of what others will think of you. Beware of doing your acts of righteousness, whatever they may be seen by others. Beware of parading your spirituality. Beware of parading, I suppose, in modern terms, that people can parade their spirituality, you know, on Facebook and Twitter. That's quite interesting. Well, I'm praying for this and I'm doing that. That's interesting. It's all about what other people think if it's not real. So that's the danger that Jesus is highlighting here. And these are the illustrations that he gives. But thirdly, what about the remedy he offers for all of this? In each of these three illustrations, at the end of them, he says this, well, when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's very important that we do not consider some kind of double life or hypocritical life to be the norm. One of the Puritan writers, I think it might have been John Owen, speaks somewhere of watching the blacksmith in the town with a new dog, and how the dog was always in a disturbed condition because of the great noise at the smith. And then he said, you know, what he'd recognized and what he acknowledged and what he saw was that in just a few days, how the dog became accustomed to all the hammering and the noise and the bellows, so that it would lie fast asleep on the workshop. In these verses, Jesus is saying to us, he doesn't want us to fall asleep in hypocrisy and self-deceit. He wants us to see ourselves not as others see us, but as God sees us. And Jesus here speaks about a kind of secrecy in the Christian life. He speaks about our Father who sees in secret. The key thing, according to Jesus, is to live for our Heavenly Father. We're to focus on Him. What does it matter if anyone sees us or not? The important thing is that God sees. He is all the audience we need. We are to live our lives in our Father's presence. If He sees, then that's all that really matters. Our eyes, our hearts are to be fully set upon Him. See, the big issue is who are we actually really living for? Are we simply living for ourselves, or are we living for God? We can be very religious. We can be very spiritual. And yet all the time be simply living for ourselves. Our praise, our honor, our glory. And so the mirror that Jesus holds up to us reveals every wrinkle, spot, and every blemish. He uncovers our hypocrisy. He lets us see what we're really like. Not just the image we give to everyone else, but what we're really like inside. And if truth be told, none of us are very fair. But Jesus Christ is the fairest of them all. He invites us to come to Him, to rest in His perfection and what He's done for us on the cross, and to live our lives for Him and for His glory. That, he says, is the way of real freedom and real joy and real righteousness. There's a story told, I think it's from the First World War. Somebody, soldier returning, been blinded by shrapnel in action, and he was taken home to recover in a hospital. The man was an accomplished musician, but blinded. He, in the hospital, he used to sit at there was a piano there, and he would play the piano, and he would try and lift the spirits of others in that place. And he just played. He never knew whether it was a help or a blessing to anyone. No one told him. He just played. One day, he heard someone clapping very loudly. And he asked him, who are you? The man said, I'm your king. I'm your king. It was all the approval he needed. If his king was happy, what else did he require? What else do you need? Live to make the king happy. Live for your father in secret. Put him first. Love him. Serve him. That is the path of true righteousness. That's the path of real discipleship. Let's pray. God our Father, your word reveals us for who and for what we are, but as it undoes us, so we know that Jesus Christ can make us complete and full. Heavenly Father, work in us what is pleasing to you. Help us to live with our eyes not set ultimately on other people and trying to look good, but help us to live our lives before you, to please you and to honour you. Help us to live lives of real integrity and real honesty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.